This recording, South Africa 32, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Karma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Karma Gets a Cure. Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the Territory, so she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Karma, Karma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Karma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold onto Karma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much," but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I was born in Johannesburg in 1972 in what was back then still Transvaal in apartheid-era South Africa. I was brought up in a bilingual home with an Afrikaans-speaking father and an English-speaking mother. I remember my mother entertaining us with what to me seemed like British-sounding English phrases. She would say things like, "Oh, dash it all," and "Nary a bloomin' word," and sing that little song, "Moosey dotes and dozy dotes and little lambsy divey, kiddly divey too, wouldn't you?" And I always found that very amusing. I went to Afrikaans schools in Johannesburg and Afrikaans University in Pretoria, and then worked as a speech-language therapist and audiologist in Johannesburg before doing a stint as a speech and language therapist locum in the UK for 4 months in 1997. I then moved back to Johannesburg and continued practice mainly in English in Johannesburg. I then changed jobs and started working for a software engineering company in Pretoria and started doing some voiceover work as well as some sound engineering work for that company and subsequently for another company in Johannesburg. Then in 2011, I moved to France, where I lived on and off, mostly on, for 6 years. Spoke mostly English, but also learned French while I was there. And I know that my accent sounds affected. I've been told many times that people can't place my accent. You know, where do I come from?